Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vassie. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight on a Sunday evening, I welcome to the show Frank and Jesse to go through a little bit of our 57-point loss to the Adelaide Crows that happened yesterday. But we didn't talk much about the game. We just talked about, look, I mean, we're similar to Alistair Clarkson. We seem to be sending the same message every week. So I could probably just edit out the last 3 to 4 weeks of my podcast and just do that in one, because we still talked about leadership. I mean, there's a lot of concerns at the moment, just how uncompetitive we are, leadership. There was a lot to go through, so let's not waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Jesse and Frank to talk about it. So tonight I welcome back to the show Frank and Jesse on a Sunday this time. I'm not too sure where Mark is, couldn't get in touch with him. We've moved away from the Tuesday time slot, boys, to go through a few things tonight. So Frank, I'm going to start with you tonight. Now, a lot of talk about effort last week. Do you think the effort was better yesterday despite the result again?
No, not really, Dean. I did some homework for this special Sunday edition. And because, we talk about effort, I was hoping, as I do most weeks, that you start to get a semblance of what the side's going to deliver in the first 15 minutes of the first quarter. And so at quarter time, Dean, I thought, who better than to stamp what we're going to do as a club than our two co-captains? So in the first quarter, we had Lukey Mack. Gave us four disposals. Two were direct turnovers, and I had him down for contributing to two goals for the Crows directly. And then Jai Simkin gave us four disposals in the first quarter. All of them were direct turnovers, so no effective disposals, and didn't manage to lay a tackle.
It's not setting a standard, is it?
No, and if you're looking to your captains to set a standard, that is a really, really low bar, and I think that set the standard for the rest of the day.
No, fair enough. What about you, Jesse? Welcome to the show, by the way. The pressure rating was not great as well. There was, I think that, some players put in better individual efforts, but from a team perspective, I think it was pretty average again, Jesse. What do you think? Do you think we're being a bit too harsh there?
No, I think we're right on. The effort, especially the first half, just was not there. If you look at the pressure rating, the non-negotiable, if you're going out there, should be your tackling and pressure, especially because we don't have the ball. So if you don't have the ball, what are you doing with it? You should be tackling and applying pressure. We weren't doing that. It was completely missing. If I go through, if I look at tackles and look at how many players didn't lay a tackle, so there was two Crows players who didn't, Josh Rochelle and Jane Ballas didn't even play. Probably did. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players who didn't lay a tackle. One of them was the sub. But so there's four other players who did not lay a tackle who were on there for the entire game. That's poor. Pressure acts, exactly the same. If you look at the pressure acts, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 players who had, five or six players who had under 10. Now, we did have four players who actually did crack in and had high pressure ratings. We had four players over 20, which the Crows only had one. And you'd expect that, given they had most of the ball. There's at least a few guys there who cracked in. You can tell who's giving effort. I think pressure acts is actually one of the better ways of seeing who it gives them and who's actually trying, because at least that shows intent from a player to crack in. But there just wasn't enough. And, the captains in particular, I put out a tweet in, I think, the first 5 minutes of the game about how Luke McDonald was an AFL standard. I gave him a pretty damning bake, I think, 5-10 minutes in after his first few efforts. I did see what he posted after the game, and I saw your retweet and a few other people. Look, he does care. I don't think that there's no part of me that says that neither him or Jai Simpkin doesn't care. I think you were spot on. I think the enormity of where we are and how far away we are and what needs to be done and the burden of leadership has not suited them whatsoever. They just aren't leaders. I have no issue with them being in a leadership team. No issue with them being, you know, I think they could be, you know, potentially a vice captain at most or in a leadership squad, you know, giving leadership around the field. I just don't think they've got captain in them. I just don't think they can be the ones who stand up in front of a group because you are, it is that obvious that it has affected their form.
Yeah.
You know, Luke McDonald didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, he hasn't. That's fine. But Simpkin has had such a sharp drop-off. I had a crack at him as well, because if you look at the centre bounce attendances and the centre bounce attendance percentage, you know, Jai Simpkin had something like, you know, 54% of the centre bounce attendances. Tom Power had 14, which is less than Paul Curtis. That absolutely. So if you're going on positives for this year, I give the big X one. And I thought it was a little bit weird about the comment made, but anyway, we'll go past that.
Yeah.
Big X, his comment for this year, and this is coming from someone who, I don't think I need to say anything else about what I thought coming into the year. Tom Powell, 14% of CBAs for the game. That's the same as Harry Sheasel. I was happy that Paul Curtis got in there. I actually thought that he added a little bit going in there because he hadn't had a touch for the first half. But how someone who I think had a very positive start to the year in Tom Power, you decide, I'm going to drop him out of the middle to fit Jai Simpkin in when Jai Simpkin was butchering it. I think, you know, Ricky said it in his thing. You know, Will Phillips obviously came in, and I don't want to go too far into that, but Will Phillips obviously played. They then met, and they wanted to give Jai more midfield time. It meant that they chucked Powell and Lazara off to the flanks, which just didn't work. That doesn't work for mine. Your starting midfield has to be your LDU, your Wardlaw, your Powell, and then you've got other people flowing through that. They can flow in there regularly, but there should be no situation in which they're not at least the top three or on par with maybe a fourth coming in there. It didn't work. Jai Simpkin, whenever he got the ball in the middle, there was none of those sharp side steps that he used to do. It was just a hack kick forward and wish for the best. So I think you were spot on, mate. Leadership isn't working for them, so... I'd almost save them from themselves. I think it's beyond the point of the players picking who their leadership team is. Clarko, show something, get with your coaches, and you determine who the captain needs to be.
Yeah, that's right,
man. Spot on. That's all we can do.
Yeah, I think it's just weighing hard on them. Look, it's nothing against them individually. No. They cop enough online about the way they're playing, and I just think it's they're not handling it at the moment. They're not handling the burden of losing. Of carrying a weight on their shoulders from the team performing poorly. And it's affecting their form. It looks like they're trying too hard out there to try and turn it. And in the end, they're making things worse by butchering the ball like Frank's scared or just giving away stupid free kicks. So I think there has to be a change there. Like, it's not a personal thing. I think they should get together and just talk about it openly and sort of say, well, maybe just step down from captain because you need we need you playing at your best football, especially Jai Simpkin. He's fallen off a cliff. Averaging 15.7 disposals a game. That's the third worst of his career at the moment. Like 2018, his second year was 14.9. Yeah, you talk about 2022, average 26.6, 2021, 26.9. I know he's had the concussion issues and so forth, but everything is down as far as numbers go. Tackles are down. Clearance is obviously down because he's not going in the midfield as much. So I think it'll be a good thing for him just to step down from the captaincy and maybe give it to someone else. Frank, you know, we talked about leadership last week, badly out of form. I can't remember the last time a captain or captains relinquished their duties through the course of the year, but I think it might be the best option for their sanity, one, and just going back to playing some half-decent football. What do you think, Frank?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Dean. It's just we're slowly watching them unravel in front of our eyes on the weekend. They're just shells of their former players. Their form's disappeared. I don't know how many times you can roll Lukey Mack out at the end of the game. And as you said, we all know he's hurting. And he's, you know, there's no doubt about that. But they're just unraveling in front of our eyes. And they're not the only two. There's a heap of others that I think have gone back drastically in form and confidence this year. And I thought, Dean, not to get too far ahead, but young Riley Hardiman, bright start in the first quarter, couple of turnovers, and I thought by the end of the game he looked like he'd lost all his confidence. And I thought that kind of summed up what has happened to a good dozen players at our club this year.
Yeah, well, from round one, to now, a lot of them have regressed. It was good to see Colby McKercher obviously find a bit of form, going back in position of pre-season, playing the back line, so that was good. But, Jesse, I want to go back to go forward. Now, I want to go to team changes. We selected Wardlaw and Hardiman, who we'll talk about a little bit more later. Out of the team was Ford with injury and Sellers, who was given no chance to succeed, let's be honest. Look, he went back to the twos and played well, kicked three goals. But that team that was named, I thought it was far too imbalanced and far too many midfielders in that team. What do you think at the time?
Oh, I completely agree. How many players there were genuine midfielders? But I think that's an indictment of our recruitment policy over the last 5 years. All we've recruited is midfielders, not tall midfielders either, I'll add. But, you know, so we've gone short midfielders and we've gone halfbackers. That's pretty much what we've recruited for the last 5 years. It was a completely unbalanced list. I'd be completely shaking that up going into the next game. You can't be playing that many midfielders. It just did not work whatsoever because you're not getting any rhythm and you're playing midfielders in weird positions. They're just not going to be able to, you know, they're not going to be able to star in. There's too many midfielders on the list for mine. There's a bit that needs to be done to even up that team. The problem is there's not a massive amount of changes that we can make.
No, that's right. And
that's the thing. Like, I would love to rejig that back line. I know Ricky did a big part on this. I'd love to see what the difference would be with a Dawson and a Griffin Logan there, allowing Charlie Comden to be, you know, more of an interceptor. But he'd learn a lot. He got to play, you know, some time on Tex. He's going to learn a massive amount from this, well, from the next month or so. But once those guys come in, it's going to be a big difference. So I think I can at least see what our future format looks like for that tall defense. I've got some thoughts on what I would be doing with your halfback and your small defense. The forward half, I'm still pretty torn on in terms of how you would do it. I did say before, my starting midfield mix for mine, you know, Wardlaw was, didn't have a massive first half. Second half was massive. Ended up with player rating of 22.3. Supercoach was, 89. He had a massive amount of, tackles, clearances. We can see where he's heading. He's going to be an absolute bull in the midfield. Your Ben Cunnington 2.0, your Clayton Oliver type. You know, LDU, I thought that was his best game for the year. I think I have Powell in there because I just think he's got massive upside. And I think you rotate players through. But, again, I think you're spot on. It was not a balanced team. I think there's some players who are showing form in the VFL that I think are worth a crack because they aren't just one-dimensional. I don't care necessarily if one player is playing better than another, but we need to find players who can add more to their game, especially because of how we've recruited. We need people who are going to be more agile in playing different positions because even if we still need to find a heap of players, we need to sort out that forward half of mine. The back half, as I said, once we get some players back from injury, I think it's at least in a semblance of being okay. So that, for me, says it's the forward half in particular that we need to get the mix right.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, I could understand it that they want to go smaller and put a bit of pressure on the forward half by playing these smaller players like Tom Powell, Charlie Lazaro, but they aren't suited to the role. So it resulted, like Jesse said, in a lot of goals from the Crows from their defensive half. I think they scored 64 points from their defensive half, where the league average is 32. I think we scored 14 points. It just goes to show how many square pegs we're putting in the round holes to try and make it work, aren't we, Frank?
Well, I sent you that message, Dean. I think at halftime, that would have to be some sort of an AFL record where we did not lay a solitary tackle in our forward line for the first half.
Yeah.
It just beggars belief that we could not somehow manage a tackle in the forward 50 for an hour. And you're right. Either it's the wrong guys in the wrong spots, or the guys have lost their drive and their hunger, and they're just not trying hard enough. But something is horribly wrong across that sort of half forward line at the moment.
Yeah, well, we only laid four tackles inside 50 by the end of the game anyway, so it wasn't too much better. Whereas you look at the Crows, 19. And they laid 15 more tackles and 12 more tackles for the game, and they had like 70 more possessions than we did, or something like that. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of concerns at the moment. Jesse, we'll talk about Clarko's presser, and I found it strange that he said Tristan Sherry had his colours lowered by O'Brien. Now, I thought O'Brien was a little bit better than him, but I mean, you didn't have to really say it. I mean, he wasn't the worst on ground, and I don't think O'Brien dominated by any means. What do you think about that, just singling out just one player in the press conference like that?
Yeah, look, I thought it was a bit bizarre. Look, yeah, if you asked me who had the better game...
Yeah, it was O'Brien.
Well, yeah, but I don't think there was a massive difference, to be honest, in their games. Like, if you look at Supercoach, so champion data rating, Riley O'Brien had 77. Tristan Jerry had 103. Player rating. So if you don't like your champion data, you go for your player rating. Again, he had a better game. So statistically, now, this is where statistics in the eye are going to come back differently. On the eye, you would say that he had a better game than Tristan. Absolutely. But statistically, Tristan actually had a very decent game. He was our fourth highest rated player on the ground. He was still good in the hit out. I thought his hit-outs to advantage were pretty decent. We're talking about a guy who still had, decent number of clearances, a guy who went out there, and when we're a team who doesn't tackle, as we've talked about, he laid the third highest amount of tackles for us. Well, yeah. equal with two others, but that still shows effort from a guy. I thought it was just a little bit weird to make a point on it when there was, I would say, half a dozen guys who offered absolutely nothing out there. So, yeah, look, it was a very peculiar comment from Clarko.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, it seems to be the same message each week now, that stick with us and it will turn around. Stay the course is the new word for nourishment under Noble. The problem with that, Frank, is there's no guarantees in 3 years. We talked about this off air, that we're going to be this super team. There's a lot of teams that are looking at the list that I look at their list, and they are in a much better place than we are going forward. That's my opinion, Frank. Reassure me that we're going to be a top 14 in 3 years' time.
Well, that's hoping that nobody picks the eyes out of the list as players come out of contract. And I guarantee you, I don't think any manager of players on our list would be sort of saying stick around because things are going to change, because if anything, they're getting worse. So that assessment of stick around and stay the course, that got boring about 4 weeks ago for me. And now I didn't even watch the press conference this weekend because I've seen it before. And if something doesn't change very, very quickly, not only will our list look vastly different because players will leave, I've got a feeling my worst case scenario, Dean, is that this kind of continual pressure on Clarkson of losing and being put under the spotlight for a guy who's had to take leave last year for his own mental well-being won't be doing him any good. And I don't know what the long-term viability would be of a coach like him under continual pressure, deserved pressure, mind you, and the long-term future of the list.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do much here, Jesse, can we? Like, we have to keep him as coach. Like, he's not going anywhere. We signed him on a big deal, like 5 years, over $5 million. I think we're still, we would have just finished off paying Brad Scott. We're probably still paying David Noble, maybe even Reece Shaw out of his contract. So we can't afford to just, we'll just like sack him or anything like that, even if we lose a game, you know, don't win a game this year. I mean, we have to stay the course with him, don't we? And hopefully, he's got a plan. There's a method to his madness, Jesse.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I don't think we can be talking about doing anything with him at all. I just don't think it's an option. You can't be getting rid of someone this, you know, this soon into a... I don't think it would matter who was out there, to be honest. No. I think if I'm being brutally honest, it is just the state of... It's just the state of our list. We've had in... Our list is just that poor. And what I mean by that is we've got some good players on there, but you compare our list to any other list in the competition. I was watching Fremantle last night. Or actually, I've got a better example. We obviously played against the Giants in the VFL on Friday. They've got blokes running around who are AFL-listed players up forward, down back, who we'd scream for in our team. If there was a mid-season draft, a mid-season trade period, That would be massive for us because you'd actually be able to target players who are desperate to get a game. You've got, I would say, every other team in the competition has players at seconds level who we would kill for to play in our firsts. And that's our list profile is whack. There's a lot of dead wood on our list. There's a lot of dead wood. And there's a lot of the exact same type of player.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So you're going to end up going... You're going to end up with a quarter of the list, maybe even half the list, going because they're the same type of player as someone else on the list who's going to end up being better. So then you're going to replenish half your list anyway. There's no depth in key position stock. There's you know, missing quality in every position line. It's just. I think it all comes back again to how the list, the recruitment, the trading, the list profile. I think it all comes back down to that. And more than anything, I think it comes down to the fact that if you're a, and someone used the example on air, if you're a Bailey Scott, you've played less than 100 games and you're on to like your fifth coach. I don't think there's anything that's damned us more than the amount of coaches that we've had over a small period of time. That's multiple different messages that you're getting. Now, albeit some of them were temporary coaches, but you're getting all of these different messages, these different plans. You're getting all of these leaders come in and give you a glimpse of hope saying, I'm going to lead, you know, this is the plan. We're going to come forward. And it just goes all down the drain every single time. So you just, I think, honestly, we're at this point where Clarko's come in. All of the players probably bought in for the first 15 minutes of it. They've seen it rinse and repeat of what's happened before, and they've all just lost hope. I actually think that's what's happened. You've got all these players who have said, this is what's happened before.
Yeah. You can see it out on the ground. They are quick to almost lose belief and just drop their heads. What do you think about that, Frank? Do you agree with Jesse that the biggest problem has been the imbalance of the list? I mean, we don't have any key position players effective, really, that are fit. I mean, Callum Coleman-Jones going down. I don't think he was the answer anyway, to be honest with you, as a second key forward. We've had a number of years to get that second key forward for Nick Larkey. I don't know, when did Ben Brown leave? End of 2020 or something like that? So we've had a long time to find someone, and we have not even attempted to make a trade for any of these guys. I mean, we could have got Peter Wright from Gold Coast for basically nothing. That's what Essendon got him for. There's been a number of others as well. Do you think it's the main problem is just the list demographic and how imbalanced it is?
Oh, it hasn't helped, Dean, for sure. We're just screaming out for some key defenders, another key forward, and we continually overlook them for best available rather than most required. And, you know, I just sort of think, Dean, look, we've pretty much got pick one sewn up this year, I think, from what I've seen. And I just think, again, we'll end up taking the best, you know, 5'10" midfielder in the draft, and we still won't address any of the glaring issues.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, I was talking to a Carlton mate yesterday, and he said when we were starting our rebuild, we picked key position players. In 2015, they drafted Wiedering, Mackay, Charlie Curnow. That's a spine that was built pretty much straight away. We've gone midfield out, and as we speak, our midfield isn't going too well anyway. So it just compels a problem, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. I think we went through this a few weeks ago in terms of what our drafting history has been. And you are right. Carlton had that massive draft where they took Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay. I mean, we obviously took Ben in that draft. Plus, I think we traded for Jed Anderson with pick 16.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I mean, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. I think it was that 2016 draft that they ended up taking those two. I reckon they may have even grabbed one of their other spine players in that draft as well. And exactly right. At some point, you've got to roll the dice and go for key position players. Now, someone said today, there's obviously meant to be some Victorian kid who is top end intercept defender. Who going agree, around this year. Yeah, so there's one rolling around who's meant to be very good this year. And, that has to be the one we go for. But defenders have been a little bit more hit and miss. I will say that. I think the last three or four key defenders that have gone in the draft, albeit I think Gipkus will be good, but just been very unlucky with injury. We're talking like your Denver Granger Brass from Hawthorne. So key defenders are generally, there's a lot more hit and miss, but your forwards, you've got to take a crack at it. You've just got to absolutely, you've got to have the go of, I understand why we were gun shy. We had that period in the mid-teens where we ummed and ahed and, tried to take some key position players and it just did not work for us whatsoever. But you've just got to do it. You've got to do it. Here we go. So 2015 National Draft, Carlton, Jacob Wiedering, pick one. Well, that's pretty helpful. If you're going to take a key defender with pick one, then they're probably going to be pretty decent. Harry Mackay, pick 10. Charlie Curnow, pick 12. Now, Matthew Kennedy, they've ended up getting. He was the next pick. David Cunningham, is he still running around? You've probably missed one there if you're Carlton, but bad luck. I mean, those pick three, those top three is their spine. Effectively, they've picked their spine for a club who will go deep, went deep into finals last year, will go deep. That's probably their three most important players almost. They've picked up in the top 15 of a draft. Pretty impressive. Now, I don't know what they had to give up to get picked 10 and 12 in that draft. It says traded with and traded from. I'd have to see, but it's a pretty handy 12. That's what you'd like to see us doing if you have multiple first round picks, is you've got a target. Now, and look, people are going to say you can only do what you can do with the draft. There's not a Jacob Wiedering rolling around every single draft, but or a Charlie Curnow or a Harry Mackay, but you've got to have that crack at it. You've got to be able to throw your picks around. I'm not saying we've done anything wrong the last 2 years taking Wardlaw, Sheasel, McKercher and Dersma, but, you've got to have the go to say, well, am I better off splitting one of those picks and taking some? People are going to continuously and should have we have, taken Curtin over going with Dersma? Should we have taken a defender? Now, we'll wait 10 years and make that decision. The Phillips to McDonald one, not looking great. I think that's probably an understatement, but and that's the thing. I think at some stage you've just got to have a crack at key position players, and we just haven't done it. But when you've got Logan McDonald kicking three today and Phillips being subbed off, it's all good and well taking midfielders at the top end, but sometimes you've just got to have a go. So, yeah, it comes down to drafting for mine.
Yeah, it hasn't helped us, put it this way. No. Speaking of Tristan Sherry, Frank, we spoke about him a little bit before. He just signed a four-year contract extension during the week, so he signed on until 2029. Are you happy for him to be the number one ruck for the next 5 years?
God, where would we be without him at the moment, Dean? I don't even want to think about it. So I can't actually believe that he's signed on, to be completely honest with you, because I would have thought on his current form that he may have shopped himself around and gone, I don't know what my future here is. Well, I do know what my future here is at the moment. Could it be better elsewhere? Look, and I love the guy that he's shown some loyalty and he stayed. I think he's one of the few guys that's setting a really strong example, a leadership example. But I have nightmares where his name appears on the injury list and we go, okay, who's coming in for him? So very glad that he's staying. I hope he stays fit for all our sakes.
Well, I mean, Jesse, we talked about him in the preseason. We weren't high on him. I don't think anyone was really high on him. And he's played 6 weeks of really good football. Six and a half. Yeah, he wasn't too bad yesterday. I think that's, a four-year contract extension. I think it's just a bit too generous, to be honest with you. I've got my preservations about this.
Yeah, look, to go with the original thing that you were just asking, look, I think he's had a really solid year. And that's coming from someone who, had no hope for him at all. But I still don't think he's your long-term solution. You're looking, you're trying to find a ruckman who I would say, is it a higher grade or has a higher ceiling? I am shocked that I'd love to know what we ended up paying him. I understand what the contract length is, but I'd love to know what we're paying him, because if I was him, I would have shopped myself around. Absolutely. Because to be honest, he's probably the only one who every single week has gone out and given a shit. That's probably what I would say. That's probably not fair on Sheasel, maybe one or two others, but he has gone out every single week and crashed in. He's, led our tackles, clearances. He's gone in and given effort in every single game. Do I think he's your long-term ruckman? No. I think at some stage, you're going to have your, you're going to have to get a top-tier ruckman, because I think we're going to need one. But I think he's going to be very, he'll be able to fill that role for the next few years. Absolutely. But if I was him, I would have shot myself around a little bit, because I think other clubs would have been interested.
Well, his contract—he was contracted 2025, and the problem I have with his contract, I don't think anyone was coming for him that hard, where you had to extend till 2029. I understand we're a poor team, so you probably have to go a bit extra with the contract.
Yeah,
I think I would have gone till 2027. Like, I think for the next 3 years, he could be your number one ruck. But, there's big raps on this Taylor Goat. Hopefully he can develop. He's very raw at the moment. So that's the only issue I have with the ruck. I think the contract, I should say, is just a bit too much of an extension. If it's a value contract, like he's on, $400,000 a year or something for the next 5 years, I mean, it's still $2 million. That's all right, because that's probably below average as far as a wage. And like you said, Jesse, we don't know what he's getting paid at the moment. So hopefully he continues his form. I thought he was quite solid yesterday. Clarkson just singling him out was a bit harsh. But we'll talk about other players that played yesterday, Frank. And I'll give you the hard one. Will Phillips, where is he at? Subbed out after a poor performance, only 8 touches. What can we do with him? The VFL got the next 4 weeks before a bye. I mean, it might be the best thing for him to go back to the VFL by the looks of it.
Yeah, Dean. I, unfortunately for me, Will looks completely lost out there. He's never been quick, so he gets exposed on those fast breaks, and that's always been a bit of a knock on him. But he's not getting the footy. Again, like some of those first quarter stats that I went through, Will Phillips had 2 disposals, didn't lay a tackle. That's not the standard you want from a starting midfielder when you're trying to set, a template for the rest of the game. And to me, he just looks completely lost. And, I can't see him holding his spot.
No, I think if he's going to, like, he needs to find some form and needs to find some continuity, because next week if he plays, he'll probably be a sub or something like that. So he needs to find a little bit of form for the next month. And if we get injuries or other players find a poor form, then, yeah, he'll get his opportunity. But it's looking pretty grim for him at the moment. I know he's only young, 21, 22, but we've got a number of other midfielders. And like we talked about before, we're probably going to pick one, which might be another midfielder. So it's just going to push him further down the pecking order. I mean, Jesse, we've talked about this bloke already. Tom Powell. Now, he's had 155 CBAs for the year in six games. He got stuff all yesterday, 10 touches and a goal early, but he needs to go back to the midfield next week. I mean, there's no two way about it. I didn't understand. If you're going to, play him out of there, I don't understand. I couldn't understand that move because I think he's been one of the shining lights in the midfield this year.
Oh, I completely agree. It was absolutely bizarre. Look, you've got a guy who has shown up this year, has been able to perform at a really good level, and you've moved him into a position that we know he can't play to do what? To bring in, well, Phillips, yeah, okay, I can understand that, but to give Jai a crack at it, I'm sorry, but Jai at his form this year is not offering anywhere near as much as Powell is offering at his top in that position. So then you're just trying to fit everyone in the team for the detriment of the team. It's just not going to work. It's great having midfielders who can rest forward, and I think all of them should be resting forward at points, but you can't have midfielders playing in forward positions. It's absolutely bizarre for mine. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I know that there's not a massive amount of forwards running around at the VFL level. That's, the main problem.
Yeah.
So there's no one really crashing down the door. But if you're going to do that, then play a Curtis Taylor or something. And I know I messaged about it today, and that's someone who I'd completely written off. But at least if you look at his VFL stats for the last a few weeks in particular, probably three or four, he's had a decent block. He kicked 1-3 on the weekend. I think last week he kicked 3 or something. So at least you've got someone who's running around getting 20 disposals off the wing, kicking goals, who can play probably a bit forward. So, and try something different. You know that these blokes who you're rotating forward or playing forward, just they're not forwards. They don't have that string to their bow. So play someone who at least does, even if they're not as good of a player, because then you're going to get at least output in that position. It's just bizarre for mine. Absolutely bizarre.
If Frank, Jesse quickly mentioned the wingers there. Geez, we're getting nothing from these wingers at the moment, are we? Like Darcy Tucker, 13 touches, 3 in the second half. Dylan Stevens only 10 touches. For some ridiculous idea that Bailey Scott's a defender rather than a winger is more bizarre than anything. They did put him on the wing in the second half, which is good to see, and he looked a lot better. There's got to be a rejig there, doesn't it, with the wingers? And I think both those boys, nothing personal, but they need to go back to the reserves and find some form as well.
Yeah, they've given us nothing. Darcy Tucker's had probably the superior year of the two, but that's not saying much, Dean. And Stevens, I think, didn't lay a tackle for the game. I know certainly he was on my Tish list for first quarter performances, generating two disposals and no tackles. Yeah, they're just giving us no drive at all, nothing. Even a couple of times I saw on the wide angle, Stevens setting up in weird positions at stoppages and sort of not really manning up but not really being in an attacking option. He was sort of like in 30 metres away from the ball in no man's land. His stats go to show it. He's either not put – he's not working hard enough, that's A, and B, maybe he's just not playing the role as they're asking him to, because he seems to place himself – where the ball isn't.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that at the moment. So
it's
very bizarre how he's because I think he's had a lot at the Swans, but Dylan Stevens, but he's not showing much at North at the moment. He's had a very poor start after a promising preseason as well. Jesse, Jai Simpkin, another poor game. We won't talk about his captaincy or anything like that, but only 14 touches. He had a fair few centre bounce attendances. I had 19 for the game. What do you think we do with him? I mean, we talked about Wardlaw, LDU, Powell should be the midfielders. Do we put him back to high half forward?
Well, if you're going to play him in the team, do we have another choice? That would be my thing. I kind of think like that is his only position if you're going to play him in the team. He just hasn't. I'd almost give. Because we're not going to probably take the captaincy off him, it has to be a question of: are you going to continue to play him at the detriment of probably himself and those around him, or are you going to? Do you want to give him a block in the VFL to clear his head? How do you want to? They've got to work out, and he's got to work out with them as a senior player. How do you want to tackle this? How does he want to tackle this? A part of me wonders how much the concussions have weighed on him as well, because this is an extremely high drop-off. We're talking about someone who's a two-time BNF winner. It's crazy how far they've fallen. I think they've got to try and find something to do with him. The problem is that, you know, you couldn't even roll him off half-back because he's not a good kick. So you've got to find something to do with him. If his only bow is inside midfielder and he's not performing at that compared to other players, then I don't see another choice. You play him in the seconds. I don't care if you're captain or not.
Yeah, if we had a bit more depth and had someone to pick, look, his spot might be under a bit of pressure, but I don't think he'll go down to the twos. But yeah, look, as a fourth option in the midfield, he can rotate through there, I suppose, or he could even go on the wing, to be honest with you. I mean, he couldn't do much worse than the wingers that we've got at the moment. So, it'll be interesting to see how he lines up this week against St Kilda. So, yeah, he's one of many players that have got question marks at the moment. Frank, but on a positive, Colin McKercher, 32 touches, looked a lot more comfortable going back in the back half role this week, didn't he?
Yeah, which was great. We try and take the little wins, don't we, Dean, on this current level of form that we're showing. And I thought he was really good. And just getting his hands on the ball, it's great that at least talent-wise and exposure-wise, it doesn't seem to be hurting him. He's managing to get the ball, hopefully growing in confidence. Obviously still very light and gets exposed, on the one-on-ones. But we all knew that was going to happen. But I like what I'm seeing and the fact that he's still showing some resilience and desire to get the ball and push the team forward under these circumstances is really promising.
Definitely. Jesse, Harry Sheasel, we pushed him up in the midfield in the second half. I only had a few single bounce attendances, but 29 touches. This is a tough one. I like him in the half-back role, but I would like to see him push through the midfield. But like you said, we've got a number of midfielders. Where do you want him to play from now on?
Look, we all love him off half-back, and I have no problem with him roaming around the half-back line and playing a part component of the game there. I'd be playing him half-forward. I want him rolling into the midfield. He had about 14 CBAs. I'm happy with him getting 10 at the moment. I'm happy with 10. If he's getting around the fourth or fifth most, so if you've got your top three liners, not including the ruckman, if he's getting your fourth or fifth, I'm pretty happy with that. I'd be playing him, even if you're playing him wing, to be honest, he's got a good fitness base. If you're playing him wing or half forward flank, I mean, we're talking about a guy who kicked 40 goals as a junior. He was the Toby Green of his draft. You could play him one out of the square. I'm being serious. I know people will laugh at that because, you know, he's the guy running off the half back line for us. That's a kid who, if you go watch, he's under 17s, 18s, 16s every year of his junior. He was coming out of the square Tony Green-esque, taking huge marks way above his size, snapping over the head through goals. He can find goals for fun.
I was going to ask you, Jesse, if we move him out of halfback, I think we've already got the worst rated back line. What difference is it going to make? It's not like we're hot restricting sides to 12 goals and you go, geez, if you move him in, we might start losing.
No, it's exactly right. You know, Clarko made a thing of, we need to balance it because he's so good for us down back that when we move him, you know, when we move him, if things go bad, things are already bad.
Correct. I mean, what's the difference? We're going to lose by 25. We're going to let them kick 25 goals instead of 21 goals or something like that. I don't see that he's – I mean, his contribution's huge, but defensively, that back half is all at sea, and I don't know that him being there or not is going to revolutionise that back line.
No, I agree with both you boys there. He might as well try something different. Like you said, Jesse, try him either on the wing or through the midfield. You can try him as a half. I think they even tried him for spells in the forward line a bit in the second half. But, yeah, I mean, the horse had already bolted by then anyway. Try it when it's a bit earlier. Frank, LDU, I thought, played his best game for a while. 29 touches, 6 clearances, 4 tackles, 58 pressure points, a team high, a goal as well. It was a really good game and was close to our best player yesterday, I thought.
Yes, look, I was much happier with his effort. Again, Dean, my knock on him is I want him to kick the ball a bit more, to back himself. He seems to be his first and second and third option is a handball. And then if that's not around, he kicks it. I'd like him to start taking the responsibility to create by kicking. But saying that, if we could get them all to put in that kind of effort, we'd be in a totally different position as a side. So you can't knock the guy who's one of few that is swimming against the current currently. But, that's probably the only thing I'd like him to sort of try and bring into his game. But, yeah, he gets a big tick for the effort on Saturday from me.
Definitely. I agree with that. I thought he was really good. Jesse, how did you see Riley Hardiman's debut? Did a couple of nice things, but did a couple of bad turnovers as well. It was a bit of an imbalanced one, but didn't look out of place either on the football field in the AFL game.
No. Look, he had one bad turnover, but that's going to happen. You kind of just got to look over that, I think. I thought he looked like he can play football. I do agree that towards the back end, he appeared to lose some of his confidence a little bit. You'd like to see him get another crack at it, albeit I actually think that Bergman 100% needs to be in the team. Mm-hmm. Which role you play him in, I've got a few thoughts on. But I think, look, Harden was a high draft pick. I think he's someone who... will definitely come on and be able to play for us. And it's someone who hopefully will come in and mean that we don't have to play midfielders in the future off the halfback line. They'll be able to, move up the ground more. I thought he had a pretty decent debut. Look, it's hard to tell as well, because when you're getting smashed like we are, it's hard to rate someone. Because just what are you expecting them to be able to do? Going out there and playing in a team, how we are. It's asking a lot of a kid to come in and do that. So, look, I thought he was pretty solid. He had a few mistakes. You'd love to see him get another crack at it, absolutely. I think he's someone who within, 6 months, he could be playing regular football next year. I saw a bit of him as a junior. He looks like a really solid player. He really crashes in. I just want to see him keep his head up. So that's why I'm saying I wouldn't be dropping him this week. I'd be definitely giving him another crack at it, especially against St Kilda, who does have some pesky smalls. So I would be giving him another crack at it, absolutely. But, yeah, look, I think he's one to keep watching. I think we'll be able to get a career, a pretty good career out of him.
Yeah, it looks all right. Definitely, he's got a good foot on him, so, and a bit of pace as well. And he's got size as well. He'll only build out more, so no, he'll be a really good asset. Yeah, he's the type of player that could play the rest of the year, really. I mean, I don't think he's going to be bad enough to drop. but it depends on players in the VFL. And we'll transition to the VFL now, Frank. A 27-point loss to GWS against a good GWS team. They had a few good players in there. I thought Bergman, Taylor, Shields, Archer, all very good for the VFL team in the 27-point loss. Frank, any of those guys particularly fancy to possibly come back in this week?
Shields on Brad Hill. I don't know whether he's got the capacity to play that role anymore at his age, but I think if he can, that would be one that I would seriously consider to just a lockdown, pure lockdown role and keep Hill out of that link-up half-back running type game that he offers. Bergman, absolutely. And then really it depends on how ruthless you want to get at the selection table, with more about who you drop rather than who you bring in. I think they were sort of solid performances in the VFL, but it depends, I guess, on how many more chances we give certain people in the senior side.
Yeah.
What about you, Jesse? I know Mark's been frothing at Jackson Archer, but they do have some good smalls in the AFL team this week, St Kilda. He'd probably be a good player to come in, I would think. But what do you think?
Look, I'm going to say this, and people aren't going to think this. I'm not going to be popular saying this. I'm not as sold on Archer as a lot of other North fans are. I know Mark loves him. If we're looking at his VFL form for the year, we're talking about someone who has played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's played 5 games of VFL, and he hasn't got a game yet in our team. So that says to me a couple of things. One, obviously he was coming off a bit of an injury, fine. But when you've played 5 games of VFL, that says that the coaches aren't really looking at you too much. He's been emergency, once or twice, I think. But they're not he's had 11 disposals, 13, 6, 9, 15. So did okay on the weekend. He's had a few tackles, which is good. He did have the 8 marks and the 4 tackles on the weekend. I thought it was his best game. So if he's going to get a game, it would be off the back of last weekend, because he is your lockdown small defender. No bullshit. Not going to run off the half back line. Not trying to be attacking. Not trying to get possession count. He'll just crash in. So if he's ever going to get a game, it would be on the back of his last game against on GWS, because that was his most solid. I'm not as sold as some people are on him coming in being the answer to a small defender. For me, the ones that I'd be looking to come in is, as I said, your Miller Bergman. High-end draft pick for us was, 20-ish, 21st, I think. I'd 100% have him coming in. 24 disposals, 17 of them were kicks. He had 6 marks. The week before, he kicked a goal, so that says that he gets his range and high off the ground. That's someone who I think is actually pretty – he had 4 tackles as well, which is more than half our team plays. So he can play pretty well. I think he's more defensive than a lot of people give him credit for. He's also a good height. He's 189 centimetres, so it means he can play on a medium. He's got some decent pace. He can range up the ground. Him and Goda are very interesting prospects for mine. We obviously brought them in the same draft as Horn Francis. They were our next 2 picks. They both got some decent speed. They've both got some decent height. They can both defend pretty well. They are, in my mind, a little bit like Hardiman, but they are, in my mind, the type of people that you want coming off your halfback line. They're the ones that you would want either as your halfbackers, or potentially you could have one playing as a more defensive role. But in going forward, I see both of them being the halfbackers on either flank. Potentially either of them could also play wing, which would be an interesting thing as well, because they've both got decent attributes, which means that they could become wingers. But they're the type of players you'd want roaming off there going down. So I have Bergman coming in, absolutely. I think he just has to play. Shields, goal, 23 disposals, 11 tackles. He just loves tackling. So he just needs to play. I don't care if he gets a disposal. If he lays 11 tackles, that's all I want to see. Because that's 11 more than we'll lay, because no one else is going to do it. So I'd honestly get him in purely because of his tackle pressure. I think the other one's worth looking at for mine. Look, Finbar, two snags. I wouldn't be bringing him just yet, no. But showing some good form. Look, it was good to see, obviously, Sellers get some goals. I don't think there's any point playing Sellers in the team while we're playing the way we are. That just because the way he plays is not going to suit the way we play, which is just, let's just bomb it forward and hope the best. I said this before, Curtis Taylor. So he's played round one, round three, round four, round five of the VFL. I had a bit of an injury. Round three, he had 17 and two goals, four tackles. Round four, 15 and a behind, and he had three tackles. Round five, he kicked one goal, three, had 25 disposals, four tackles. So is he a player? Well, probably not. But you know, we've all seen players at other clubs who we thought weren't much chop, and then they've got another crack at it and become decent. I think at this stage, you've just got to reward form. If you're playing well in the VFL, and you've got blokes running around doing what they're doing at AFL level, I think you're just going to give them a crack. So, is he my best 22 for next year? Probably not. But hey, he's actually giving a shit and he's cracking at VFL level and he's performing. Give him a go. At least he adds a different dynamic to a midfielder who can't play forward. At least he can play forward. He probably is a forward that we've made play in different positions. I'd rather see him on the wing than Dylan Stevens, to be honest.
Oh, even probably Darcy Duckett, to be honest with you.
Well,
name
any of our wings and I'd like to see
them. Yeah. Look, good point about Miller Bergman. He's more of a natural defender rather than like a Zach Fisher or, you know, a Colby McKercher even. He's the long-term, you know, rebounding defender that will still be at the club playing there in the next two or three years. I can't see that with Fisher or Sheasel even. So, yeah, no, it'll be good for him to get an opportunity. I know he got that injury, his ankle injury, and he's just coming back. So, hopefully, he's had enough of a run to come in. Yeah, Jackson Archer, I mean, at least he gives it everything he's got. Which is not a bad thing. He plays similar to his old man. We need a bit of grunt in that back line, an unsociable footballer. Yeah, so, I mean, there's options here. Liam Shields, a bit of leadership as well. So there are options here. You know, they're not horribly, you know, it's not like we've got absolutely no one to pick from in the VFL. So at least there are options and a bit of pressure up above. So hopefully they can make, you know, three or four changes this week. That's what I'd like to see anyway. Saying that, Frank, any final thoughts about the game against St Kilda this Saturday? I believe it's Saturday. I haven't even checked
it. No, I think it is Saturday.
Yeah. No, nothing, Dean, really. I did just want to quickly, on the VFL, did we get a final report on Braden George's injury?
No.
I haven't heard anything yet.
No. Okay. I didn't see it, but I did have a friend who was watching it and said he looked to be in a fair bit of discomfort when he went off. So a shoulder, apparently. So, we'll wait to see what happens there. But, Dean, going with absolutely zero expectation, I've put us down for at least a 10-goal loss on what I've seen recently. Hopefully they can, prove me somewhat wrong on the margin. But, yeah, I'll head out there and see what happens.
It's probably similar with me. What about you, Jesse? Any final thoughts on the game coming up this Saturday against St Kilda? Anything you want to see?
Look, I think we just need to give some guys a crack, as I said. You've got to reward VFL form. If someone's performing, get them in, Bergman, etc. I don't want to see 75 midfielders rolling around. It doesn't work. You've got to see a semblance. You've got to see a semblance of a team that you can take it forward with. Playing the same continuously is just not, it's just not working. And it's boring to watch. It doesn't mm-hmm. offer us any thought of where we could be going because it's just not going to happen. We're not going to be playing those forwards when we go, in the future. It's just, we won't. So, it's frustrating. We'll watch it with no expectations at all because we can't at the moment. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we you know, we can at least crash in and give it a go. And that's all you want to see. At the end of the day, that's all you want to see. So
Yeah, that's all we can hope for at the end of the day. We're not even asking for a win at the moment. We just want good four quarter performance of, you know, pressure rating of, you know, at least above 180 would be good. But
that'd be a great start.
Yeah, that should be a bare minimum, to be honest with you. But that's where we're at, unfortunately. Frank, thanks so much for coming on tonight on a Sunday, taking time. I'm sure you had better plans tonight, but yeah, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Dean. It was always a pleasure.
Jesse, pleasure to have you on a Sunday night. Thanks so much for taking the time, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon, mate. Hopefully it's a better week than every other week has been this year.
So thank you very much to those boys for coming on tonight. It was much appreciated, only because I've got too much on this week. So, yeah, no, for them to come on a Sunday night, I really do appreciate it. And I really enjoyed chatting to those individuals. And thank you very much to all you listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments you all put out for the show to help it grow. Telling your friends about it, it's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you want to leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, that would be awesome. So like I said, I'll probably be back later in the week, probably around Thursday. Just a very busy week this week with a lot on. So I'll probably be back then if I could. I've got a spare hour. I'll try and get another podcast out during the week, but that would be pushing my limits at the moment. I hope you all enjoyed it, this Sunday evening or Sunday hangover podcast. And that's it. Bye for now, and go Roos.